Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dynamic Astrology Podcast. I am your host, Caroline Faulkner. I have been studying the beautiful language of the stars for over 15 years. And with that, I have over 250 clients who I life coach using my own unique method, dynamic astrology. I have also been blessed in that I can do what I love for a living. I'm a writer. I've written two books that happen to have become bestsellers simply because you guys keep on buying them. So thank you for that. I pioneered my own birth chart software from scratch. And this was simply because I have a mission here on Earth, and it's to make the language of the stars accessible to anybody who's interested enough in learning more about their own charts and about the charts of the people that they have around them. I've also, incredibly enough, collaborated with some of the world's leading brands on some super exciting projects. And so my colleague and I started a boutique creative agency for all things star related, and that's DA. And so I believe in working to make the mind, body, and spirit care a complete priority. I decipher ancient methods of astrology to make it accessible to everyone and applicable to modern life. In this series of the Dynamic Astrology Podcast, I'm joined by a selection of incredible guests from around the UK and Europe. The thing that we all have in common is we basically are real people. We don't really wear masks unless it's to prevent the catch and spread of the virus. We also speak from our hearts, and I think that you'll feel that throughout these episodes. We'll be discussing the current state of our world with the spread of the deadly COVID-19 virus. We'll be examining also how astrology ties into that. We'll be exploring tips and advice for the different star signs, and comparing how different nations around Europe are coping with this pandemic. We'll be giving insights into different ways that we can each improve our well-being during such uncertain times. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Signs in Lockdown series. So Nutty P, Diana, and myself have decided to reunite and bring you this episode. We're going to be joined a little later on with some guests from Europe speaking about this crazy situation that we're faced in their country. Just a little rundown. As of the 10th of April, there were 1.63 million cases reported of this coronavirus, and it's hit us all quite hard. So we're going to be talking about the signs and how we're coping. So I'd like to introduce you to Diana.
Hi, guys. My name is Diana. I am currently in London town. I work in the theatre industry over here in the West End, and my sun sign is Sagittarius, my rising is Capricorn, and my moon is in Scorpio.
Over to you, Nutty P.
Yo, yeah, I'm Anton, aka Nutty P. Or Nutty P, aka Anton, whatever you want to call me. And yeah, I'm like mainly a music producer, rapper, DJ, songwriter, a bunch of other stuff. I just like to make stuff, innit, the best I can. My sun sign is Pisces, and my rising sign is Leo, and I have moon in Aries.
So I am Aquarius, and my moon is in Capricorn. I've got about four planets in Aquarius in the eighth house, so I'm known to be a little bit intense. Luckily, I'm quite comfortable with the virtual world, so I'm all right with this. And when I write books, I lock myself away for months at an end. However, as Diana well knows, after a couple of months of writing for 15 hours a day, I usually like to call on people and go for a good party, so that's not really happening at the moment. Anyway, over to you, Diana. How are you handling this lockdown as a Sagittarian?
Well, I'm referring to this as the corona roller coaster because it's like, I don't know, you know, one day you're kind of like, it's gonna be okay, the sun's shining, you know, we've got food, we've got water, you know, we can still walk outside, and you get kind of like optimistic, and then the next day you wake up and you're kind of like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere for months. And you kind of just don't want to even get out of bed. So for me, it's really like a sharp up and down constantly. And it's difficult to kind of just get a middle ground of, like, I don't know what you would call it, just radical acceptance, as some people say, and just sit right in the middle and flow through it. For me, it's just spiky.
Well, what are you doing to handle your moods? That roller coaster, the emotional roller coaster, what are you doing?
Well, when I'm on the down, I'm not going to lie, I eat food that I love, get into cakes, have a bit of honey JD, and, you know, whatever else lifts my mood a bit. And when I'm on the high, then I'm on the high. That's just the reality of it. I have started meditating every day, though, since this thing started. And I think that's definitely helping. Because I did kind of park that for a long while prior to this.
I think for me, certainly, meditating every day is like literally saved my life. I mean, I've got no excuse. I've been practicing meditation for like 13 years. I should be doing an hour in the morning and an hour at night, but I just hop out of bed before I do anything, before I jump on my phone, and I start meditating. And then I go for a run 3 times a week, but I feel super guilty. So I go for a quick run 3 times a week, and then I get out my yoga mat and do some yoga. I think for me, I'm not sure how I would cope if I didn't do yoga and meditate. So Anton, how about you? How are you finding it?
It's all right. I think because I work from home mainly, it's not had a huge impact on me, if I'm honest with you. Like, I kind of got everything I need at home. Like, I guess, I don't know, I feel like I've made a choice, like a conscious decision, to only focus on the positives of it. Like, all right, cool, I'm not really going to have to go anywhere. Means I can avoid one thing I absolutely hate, which is public transport. You can't stand it, yeah? So I don't have to go on that no more, which is great. And I can just watch all the movies that I've said I was going to watch and never had a chance to. I can kind of get into a bit more of a routine. Like Diana, I've been like meditating every day, which is that I never used to. I used to probably meditate like 6 times a month. And now it's like every day. I try to bang on it another minute for every day. So yeah, it's been like, yeah, I'm up to like 16 minutes now, which is, yeah. It's been all right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have had my days where I'm like, how long is this going to go on for? But because it's not like, you know what it is? It's just like being told you can't do something kind of makes you be like, oh, I miss being able to do that thing that I didn't know was going to get taken away from me. You know, it's like losing an appendage. It's like, oh, I didn't know I'd need that. You know, it's like when you get complacent, yeah. And then it's gone. You're like, I missed that still, you know? So, yeah.
100%. I think, do you think that it's made you, this is to both of you, more grateful for the simple things in life, like walks in the park, nature? Do you think, or is that just me being a fairy?
Boy, you know what? I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword, yeah, because the level of paranoia that I am suffering every time I go outside, it almost, you know, it's almost like a deterrent from actually wanting to be outside. Like, I can't really think about, oh, it's a beautiful tree, if people on the street that I feel like I've got to avoid, or I, you know, they've got to avoid me. It's almost like it makes it something else. So I've found it a bit difficult to really enjoy certain things. I don't know, man.
But I hear you, and I think that for the three of us, we're in London and we all live in flats, so it's easier for people if they're living in the countryside or they've got a garden and you know they can actually get out. But we're like hamsters stuck in cages, and I think for me, like, be looking outside, like if I go for like a really quick run and I'm trying my best to stay in, you know, I'm literally in lockdown and I had to stay in for, you know, 14 days, but I'm saying for me, like seeing the park, you know, and or remembering how the beach looks, you know, it's like for me it's reminded me of the deep appreciation of Mother Nature. And I mean, I live, where I live, we're kind of close to the airport, and I'm quite grateful that I don't have planes flying over my flat anymore. You know, it's, I mean, I literally used to be able to see the pilot's name badge sometimes. The birds are having a ball. You know, they're singing their hearts out every morning. No pollution. Yeah.
Have you seen that? There's like deers rolling around in like Bromley and that now. I don't know if you lot saw that. It's like deers just hanging around on the estate. Like,
yeah, I saw that. I mean, for me, I'm definitely like, if they took away my one walk a day, oh my Lord, there would be a lot more down days than up days, I'll tell you. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I have no paranoia at all. When I'm outside, I kind of find it, well, I don't know if this is controversial to say, but like everyone that I pass, we kind of just smile at each other and laugh at each other because we're having to like move away from each other, but we kind of all know that we have to do it. But I just have no paranoia at all. I love going outside once a day, and there's four walks that I can do. I'm blessed enough to be able to go by the river. There's multiple amounts of parks around where I am, so I don't have to do the same walk every day. And then, yeah, appreciating the little things. Oh, my Lord, yes. I remember I was taking off three trips this year. I was like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. And now I'm like, oh my God, as soon as I can fly again, I'm going there and I'm doing that. There is no more kind of just erming and ahring, because, you know, life's precious.
You know what? It is precious, but don't you think that we've poisoned Mother Earth for long enough? Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
she had a couple more years in her.
Me personally, I feel that as human beings, on a mental, spiritual, and physical level, we are completely attuned to the rhythms of the universe. And I mean, my scientist friend argues with me, but I think we've poisoned Mother Earth, and you know, it's not about karma. Karma is much deeper than that. But I'm saying we couldn't continue most of these, the SARS virus, all these things have come from the mistreatment of something. It's come from the mistreatment of animals. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, we've just become so greedy and complacent, and, you know, nobody gives a do you know what I mean? I mean, maybe it's just me and I'm just thinking it, but for now, I really feel sorry for the people that are suffering in the aviation industry. I really feel sorry for all the people that are suffering, but right now, something had to give. It was so unbalanced.
The thing is, you know what though, I slightly feel like it's hard to avoid, because like in our nature, like if you used to tell everyone, like, all right, boom, even now, if you used to be like, all right, bam, we've got to take all your cars away, everyone would be like, no. You know, I paid for my car with my hard-earned money. Like, if this is say, like, all right, boom, we're going to have to lock off all electric, everyone would say no. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit hard to avoid. So it's like, I guess I agree with you. It's like it's taken a sort of this global thing for us all to just slow down and let nature heal a little bit.
Exactly. But also let ourselves heal. Because the one thing about all of this is that everyone's connecting on I've always been a deep connector, I think, but a lot more people, the masks are falling, you know, they can't run away from themselves. Everyone has to face themselves, you know? And for me, I just think that, you know, we're much more sensitive than we give ourselves credit for. And when the way that we were treating the planet, you know, a profit over absolutely everything, flying all over the place, polluting everything, treating animals like commodities. Animals are not commodities. They're beings. They breathe. Do you know what I mean? Anyway.
I know, but it's going to be real hard to, like, give up the planes and the beef burgers.
Yeah, boy, I ain't ready to give up the beef burger yet.
Mother Nature's listening to you. Like, seriously, you're grounded for another year, that's it.
Bro, here's the thing, all right, boom. So with the whole meat thing now, yeah, I feel like there's no reason why we shouldn't be allowed to eat it if it's been curated in a humane way. Because at the end of the day, yeah, all these things that we're eating probably going to get eaten by some predator at some point anyway. But it's like when things are bred in cages and treated like dirt, that's when I feel like this is, like, I don't want to have to eat that. I don't want to consume that.
But that's the majority. That's the majority of the animals. They're suffering, and then people are consuming it. Anyway, on that note, I would like to introduce the fantastic Greg Pidcock. Now, Greg, He's a Libra, and so hopefully he can bring a little bit more balance to this, because I'm like the fairy. Come on, we need a little bit of Libra and balance in the house. Greg, are you there?
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you all? Or it's morning, isn't it?
It is morning, but I've seen your stocked bar in your house, so I'm not surprised you don't know what time it is.
I wasn't even sure what day it was for most of last week.
So Greg, we wanted to know if you could bring a little bit of balance and harmony into this. So I was going to ask Anton if Anton was going to ask you a couple of little questions, you know, guy on guy and all that.
Yeah, man. So, how have you been finding this lockdown, man, and stuff like? And also, tell us a bit about who you are and what you do for everyone listening.
Okay, cool. So I've been a DJ for about 10, 15 years now, produced a lot of house music, and for the last 4 or 5 years, I've had a residency at a wonderful bar restaurant in Mayfair called Sketch, where I actually met Carolyn. And right now, I'm one of the few people in the world who's extremely happy with this situation, at least on an internal level. Like, I'm not happy with what's happening around the world and all the negativity, but I have a home studio. I live with a singer that I'm producing. I have a little DJ set up at home. So, you know, while the income has taken a bit of a pause, which is challenging, you know, luckily I was, you know, already saving up and stuff like that. So right now it's kind of a blessing to have a few months to just make music and work on my home life and work on like some of that internal work that I'd never had the time to do when things were so busy in London, for example.
I think that's amazing. A little bit of balance and harmony from a Libra. And you go, Greg. Talk to us about your astrology, Greg.
So I'm my sun sign is Libra, my moon sign is Leo, and my ascendant is Taurus. And these three themes kind of define me. It's like there's a bit of a lion, there's a bit of balance, and there's a bit of a kind of stubborn bull there too.
You know? So how have you found it? Obviously, being a DJ, you know, I guess your life will probably center in quite kind of like, you know, being an extrovert, going out and stuff, like being with people, socializing. And obviously what's happened is kind of the opposite. Like we're forced to live the opposite of that life now. You can't really mingle. So how have you found it sort of transitioning to sort of being at home, you know, doing more introvert activities like producing and stuff? Like how have you found it?
I mean, I'm kind of a homebody as it is. So when it was like going out, let's say you're going to go to an amazing gig, you're going to play it, or you're going to go hear some incredible music or meet wonderful people. But then you need that downtime in between those situations as well. So then you go back home, you rest, you eat well, and you relax, and then you kind of have the energy to go and be that extroverted person again. So I'm just kind of looking at this like the big relax. And then when we come back, it's going to be kind of just project all that saved up energy, you know? No, I'm just really taking the time to I started doing yoga, which is helping my back, because when you're in the studio all the time, but then I was like, before I never had time, or I didn't think I had time. So it's kind of, I'm just taking it day by day, but just trying to develop skills but then also watch television, you know? That's a
balance. What have you been watching? I watched the Anton Hernandez documentary yesterday. So interesting, you know, about the CTE with the NFL players and everything. But anyway, I digress. what have you been watching, Greg? What's the last thing you watched?
I've been trying to watch as much escapist fictional Hollywood as possible to just transport me to a new place. I've been recently watching the latest season of Westworld, which, I mean, if you think our civilization is bad, you just go watch theirs, and it's, like, super messed up. So, and it's also beautiful and well-written and a great actor. So, Westworld Season 3 on right now.
No spoilers for the new season, yeah? I haven't seen it yet.
No spoilers.
Okay, so I think the thing is, so Libra is really balance everything else. I think the thing is that looking at the positives of this situation is amazing. But the one thing I will say, because I'm connected to quite a lot of people and you can feel it in the air, there's a load of fear out there.
It's true.
So I think, I don't know, I think for me, I think the most important thing is, you know, to try and raise our vibration. And I feel like a lot of the time, the people that I speak to, because they're so wounded, they're very frightened and they're a little negative. And the thing with people like that is that you can't really get too sucked into it. You know, this is a lot to do with misinformation. This is a lot to do with, you know, fear. I mean, you know, let's face it, 7,000 people have died in the UK. You know, it's serious. Anyway, my point is that we have to try and raise our vibrations and keep our hearts open, because a lot of the time, you know, people are getting really angry about people rushing around and stockpiling and stuff like this. But the reason why people are stockpiling is because we've created a society that doesn't look out for each other. We've created a society that if you don't have your bare essentials, you're going to starve or you're going to suffer, because we don't necessarily look out for each other. We live in sort of our own little bubbles. And I think one thing that this has done, and I've been talking about this for probably 2 years now, I've been going on about the, you know, the shifting consciousness, the mass awakening. I put it all in a journal. Super grateful to HarperCollins for believing in me and publishing it over a year ago to come out this year. You know, if nothing, none of this has happened, that journal would have been absolutely crazy, because I'm talking about a mass awakening that, you know, and people, you know, becoming much more compassionate and actually giving a shit about each other. So I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a weird one, because like a lot of my group of friends and colleagues, they kind of know me as like, when I'm out and when you talk to me, I'm trying to raise the level when I can and make things fun. And you know, a lot of people call me even before all of this was happening, like if they have something going on with them, and I'll be able to listen and help them sort out, you know, and kind of just go through it, you know, in a kind of rational way. And lately I've had a lot of people call me just feeling really depressed about, you know, that they're not productive and they're not giving anything, and they're, you know, and they're really worried about their input. And I think that's a really fair thing, because we're all, like a lot of us living in big cities, we're expected to produce on a regular basis, you know, results oriented society. And I think now we just have to reframe our gazes a little bit and say like, okay, maybe we're not going to do anything today, and maybe today's not a good day, but tomorrow let's try again. And it's just not giving up on yourself, even if you are not feeling great. It's like, it's okay to have not a good day. Like, you're going to have not a good day when we're not in quarantine. So when we're in this, you know, type of environment, it's even more likely. So the idea is, you know, exactly, try and connect with people who you think might bring you up and listen to what they have to say. And, you know, avoid blaming people and blaming everyone around you for what's going on, and just kind of like own what's going on with you and see how you can make the best of it with whatever way possible.
I think one of the most important things to do is, I think what you're saying is like really interesting, because you know, a lot of people are saying that they're having a great time. And I'm not just talking about our group here, because whilst we're talking about really intense things, the whole thing about our podcast is to keep things light and inform at the same time and hopefully inspire. But I think in terms of the depression, you know, this is the Great Depression. I think a lot of people are dialing into that, because the fact of the matter remains is that we are all connected. And whilst one of us suffers, we are all suffering. And this is the whole Buddhist like philosophy, if you like. It's like, whilst one human being, whilst one sentient being suffers, so shall we all. And I think the best thing about all of this for me is that the masks, I mean, we're having to wear masks, but the actual masks that we've all had to wear for so long, they're falling. You know, people are having to face themselves. And sometimes, you know, I think all of us here, we spend a lot of time on our own. You know, we work from home a lot. We do our own thing. We work in the creative industry. So we kind of, hopefully not in an elitist way, but we have faced ourselves. You know, we like ourselves. Or yeah. I don't know. Like, do you see it? There's a lot of people that, you know, they don't particularly, they don't face themselves. And I think that they're the ones that are struggling and suffering. And so it's really important for them to take it one day at a time and try not to run away from the suffering, just lean in, you know? Yeah, and yeah, so that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I really see that. And I think, you know, you'll meet a lot of people who aren't willing to change their minds and aren't willing to look inside. But then at the same time, I think this is when maybe people who do have some knowledge about what's going on, it's how they choose to share that knowledge. And for example, when you mentioned the mask thing, it really made me think of this one instance. I was just before the lockdown really happened. I was grabbing some work from home supplies for my studio, and I was in an Uber on the way home. And it was a lovely Irish driver, and I had a mask on. And he was like, "What do you think that's going to help?" And I was like, "Well," and I started to explain. I said, "Look, well, you know, imagine if you have nothing covering your mouth. You know, there's obviously zero, you know, 0%, 100% of everything is coming through. Imagine if you have a T-shirt covering your mouth. Maybe half of it or 60% is being covered. Maybe if you have a medicinal mask, there's going to be a little bit more. Maybe if you have a professional mask, it's going to be up to 95, 98%. So it's just that idea of reframing how you explain things, not getting mad at people, like you said, not taking things too personally, and just trying to share the basic knowledge with people. And I think if you do that well, people are open to kind of coming out of their shell and putting their fear aside, you know, and maybe that Uber driver will wear a mask soon, you know, because of that conversation, rather than just kind of dismissing it and potentially spreading the virus.
Exactly. Sorry. And also it's not just about you not getting it. It's about not giving it to other people, because, you know, there's that whole asymptomatic thing, like 100%. You might have it and not even know and then give it to someone else. It's all that aspect of it, like protecting other people from, you know, because that's the thing I'm paranoid about a lot as well, is that walking down the street and maybe I'm immune, who knows, maybe I got it already and I don't know, and I'm just going to give it to someone else because I'm not wearing a mask or I'm not wearing gloves. Like, I think it's a bit selfish to think like that. Like, oh, I see bare people in Fulham rolling around bareback, like, no nothing. I'm like, all right, it's calm for you, yeah, but you don't know. Friggin' Ethel, who's just popped to the shop to get a loaf of bread, yeah, she might not have nothing in it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think it's a bit selfish to think like that still.
Yeah. Bro,
you're so right. And I had a friend of mine who was not taking it seriously, and I was giving him a lot of crap for it, and he had to come pick up something from my house, and I was kind of giving him crap like in a friendly way, but I meant it at the same time. He was like, "Oh, can I come in?" I was like, "No, you can't come in. Like, here, I'm gonna leave the stuff here and you're gonna take it." And the funny thing was, he didn't call me for 2-3 weeks, because I know he was a bit shy because I was giving it. But then he actually got the virus and his girlfriend tested positive. And I was thinking, imagine if he'd come into my house. And then I would have been responsible for my flatmates. And, you know, like you said, I agree with you so much, Anton, about that. It's unbelievable.
I think that's the whole thing about this, is that everyone needs to remember, like, we are all connected. We are connected to the rhythms of the universe. We're connected to the universal heartbeat. We're connected to Mother Earth. And we are all brothers and sisters, all of us. You know, and we have to take care of each other. And if you don't want to, you know, cover up and protect yourself, then, you know, just, you know, stay home. Because 1.63 million cases reported as of April 10th. 7,000 people have died in the UK at the moment. And, you know, it's really serious. And yeah, sure, we can keep the vibrations high, but, you know, what are they calling them? Like COVID idiots. You know, there's no point getting angry with people. We just have to educate them and also try our best to open their hearts. Because you're never going to get anywhere if you fight anger or ignorance with anger. You know, we have to try and open their hearts and say, look, you know, this is the situation. So, yeah, I think it's I think it's interesting, very interesting. Anyhow, the thing is that one thing I wanted to say here is that, you know, some countries have lucked out in terms of the leaders that they have right now handling this global pandemic, and some countries have not lucked out in terms of the leaders that they have handling the situations. So what I would say now is that this reboot of the Age of Aquarius is all about humanity coming together. And you, if you have a leader in your country and you're listening to this that is not trustworthy, that is skirting around the issues, that is not truthful, you have to do your own homework and you have to do your own research. And, you know, during the course of this podcast, I think we're going to be very fortunate in connecting with international guests that are actually doing stuff. And I'm not in any way trying to say to everybody, look, guys, you know, everyone has to get involved. You all have to do stuff. Because roundabout now, I was trying to explain to someone the other day, we are all suffering from shock. Everyone's in shock.
Yeah.
Like, so just take care of yourself a minute. Take care of your own energy. It's like that old thing on a plane. If the plane is going to go down, you have to put your own face mask on first, right? You have to put your own mask on first before you can help anybody else. And the UK, like 750,000 people have signed up to volunteer. It's amazing, but don't give yourself a hard time. There are people out there that are doing as much as they possibly can, and I would like to hear from them in terms of how we can help.
I just wanted to, I'm not one that suffers from this. We already touched on it earlier in terms of fear. Like, I'm not really experiencing the fear element, but for the large amount of people that are, what is kind of what kind of advice would any of you guys have for them in terms of dealing with the fear element of this?
Wow, dealing with the fear, you know, it's a tough one. You know, can I think more about that one? I'm not sure I have one for that yet. I was still actually thinking about one other thing. I was going to let you go for a second.
Don't worry about it. It's good that you say that and not just shoot from the hip. Anton?
Just a really tricky one, yeah? Because it doesn't matter how high your vibration is, yeah? It doesn't matter. You meditate a million times a day, yeah? But you freaking go on the internet, yeah? You're going to see some statistic or like, something is just going to rock you. Like, you're going to see one video or something that's just going to be like, oh my God, this is like right on my doorstep. I'm as susceptible as everyone else. Doesn't matter how much kale man's eating or whatever, how many smoothies I drink. Yeah, anyone can get it. No one's safe, basically. Doesn't matter how much faith you've got. You know what I'm saying? That's the tricky thing is that, you know, the human mind is so complex. Like, you know, you've got these chemicals and these neurons and all of this stuff you don't really understand. It's just your brain that you've got to work within it. And it's tricky, you know. It's like you can get a good night's sleep. There's you know, practical things that you can do that can help. But at the same time, it's all about peace of mind. Like, you've got to kind of look past all the propaganda. And, you know, obviously it's factual. It's very factual as well, but it's a tricky one. It's that I think you've got to surround yourself with people that can lift your mood. I mean, not physically, obviously, but, you know, whether it's talking to people, reaching out to people, stuff like that, take your mind off of it. Like, I think you've really got to escape into the things you love, whether it's movies, books or whatever, and just, it sounds bait and a cliche, but you've got to cut all the negativity out, like, because that's not going to help either as well. But it's hard, man. It's hard work. Like, even for me, like, I'm like, oh, bro, it ain't no different for me. But every time I open up my door, like, I'm thinking, has this bread got it? Has this person got it? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost inescapable. Like, it's like this invisible force, like gravity or the air that we've all got to be cautious of, you know? Like, on your hands. Like, I'm like, ah, yeah, I wash my hands, yeah? But the whole time I was in the shop, I had my phone up. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to put my phone in the washing machine. What's man going to do? Like, do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know how everyone else deals with the fear aspect.
Yeah.
Wait, so the thing is that when it comes to, if in like spiritual practice, the whole thing about suffering is that, you know, we run from pain and we chase pleasure. So the whole point, that's how the Vipassana teaching is, basically to just sit with it. And rather than, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Anton, and I do it as well. You know, we jump into something, we'll watch a movie or we'll call a friend but actually that's running from, that's averting the pain. So it's like, if you just sit with it and think to yourself, like, go inside and think to yourself, what is the worst thing that can possibly happen here? Okay, worst thing is we can get the virus. Second thing is we can die. Well, guess what? We are all gonna die. Yeah? So facing our own fears of mortality, that's the thing.
Yeah, you know? I think that's why I don't have the fear, because I'm kind of like completely at ease with that. So I don't have that fear of death, and I understand. I mean, I wasn't always like that, but the more I've kind of I don't know, developed my spirituality, the more I've just become really at ease with that. So with that, you know, do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Mm-hmm. And I think, but I think, like, in reality, like, I believe in reincarnation. I believe in all these things. I practice Buddhism. I try my best. I've been doing it for 15 years. I'm a very bad student, but I'm still frightened to death. You want to know why? Because I'm kind of busy. And I feel like I've built a foundation here. And if I snuff it tomorrow, I'm going to have to start again from scratch.
You know what? And also, this is one thing I'm kind of a bit trepidatious about, is that, how long is this going to last for, bruv?
Well, it's going to take 18 months, probably. That's if we're good, it'll take 18 months to get a vaccine. Ebola, that was fast, and that took 5 years for them to find a vaccine and a cure for it. So really and truly, anyway, I think what we should do is all do a little deep breathing here, and then we're going to have a little break. So everyone who's listening right now, put your feet on the ground, roll your shoulders back, 3 deep breaths in through the nose, hold for 3 seconds. 1, 2, feel it out of your mouth. One more. Hold for 3 seconds. One more. 3 seconds. And let it out. And we're just going to go to a little breaky here. We hope that you're enjoying this podcast so far. FYI, we are completely self-funded and independent creatives working tirelessly to bring you the best and most current astrology content. If you would like to show your appreciation, of course you don't have to, but if you would like to, please do consider visiting our Patreon page where you can donate to the show. You'll find us at patreon.com/dynamicastrology. There are a selection of great benefits available to our patrons, such as uncut snippets from the podcast. You can send through questions which we'll answer on the show, get access to our newsletters, and much, much more. There are also other ways that you can help to support us. You can support us by upgrading to premium on our website, which is dynamicastrology.com. That's all written from scratch by us for you. You get unlimited access for 1 year for £25. You can also buy the books. The Signs is available in 10 different languages, so please do search that. And also Your Stars 2020 is quite uncanny, and it's a coaching and astrology journal specifically designed for this year. If you are in the US, then you would need to search Your Signs. It's called Your Signs 2020. So yeah, let's get back to the podcast. Thanks, guys. So hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Signs in Lockdown. We're really excited. We're all in London at the moment, and we have a friend joining us. This is Angelo, and Angelo is dialing in from Italy. So, Angelo, will you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hello to everybody. I'm Angelo Cruciani. I'm a creative director of my own brand, ESL, and I'm also artist, street artist, performer. I have a lot of creative things in my mind that I try to express in different kind of way. I'm Italian, and I'm Gemini. Ascendant is Leo, and my moon is in Sagittarius.
Is in Sagittarius?
Yeah, Sagittarius, yes.
Amazing. So I thought it was, first of all, I really love your label. Mr. Producer and I have been having, we've been all over your line. It's fantastic.
And I love your book.
That's how we connected, right?
Yes, because I found your book in a library for Destiny. And helps me a lot to grow to understand better the energy of the universe, and especially how I can use the energy of the universe in my life.
It's a pleasure, and I think that the book itself, it's created a life of its own. I've connected with people from all over the world due to that book, and it was a hard thing to write, but it was born under the sign of Scorpio, that book. And Scorpio gone right is powerful and it empowers people. So in Italy, you have to excuse my pronunciation. It's called Segni, right? What is it called? The signs? What is it called in?
Leo.
No, the book. What's it called in Italy, in Italian?
I segni.
Perfect. So we just wanted to know, obviously we see a lot of stuff on the news about what's going on in Italy, but we just wanted to hear it from someone who's actually there. And how are you coping with the lockdown?
The situation in Italy is very hard because it's around 2 months we are locked down into our house. And especially the problem is about society and economy. People are very scared about the future. People are very scared to continue. And the big question is how we can continue to live with the fear of this virus. And personally, I have no problem with this kind of situation, but around me, a lot of problems comes because people was not ready to stay with themselves.
I was saying the same thing earlier on. I think a lot of us, we work from home. We you know, if you work in the creative industries, you have to spend a lot of time on your own. It's like a birthing process. And I think that this is the main problem, is people are frightened to face themselves. So do you have any advice for them?
But we are lucky, Caroline, because when you use the creativity, you can find all the time solutions. And this is a very important side to use for everybody, because everybody has talent. We have only to use more creativity for understand better this time, because this time is an opportunity.
It is an opportunity.
It's a point of view. Is it a big opportunity? Because we have the chance now to understand better about life. All the time we don't have, usually we don't have enough time to think about life, to think about ourselves, if we really are on our way, if we are matching with our destiny, if we really follow our dream. And I think this is a good opportunity, a moment to reflect to our life and to share with other people what you think.
I agree.
Because today, with social network, we have the opportunity to talk a lot with other people and to share. We don't have to be fear to share what we have inside. I think this is a very nice opportunity for all the world. I'm sorry for the people who suffer. I'm sorry for doctors, for hospitals, for all the people who is contaminated by the virus. But for all other people, we have to use this moment for recreate a new positive river of energy.
I agree.
This is what universe wants. Universe tells us exactly to stop to go in the way we were before.
I totally agree. It's this massive shift, and I think this is an amazing opportunity. But I think at the moment, because we're being bombarded with, you know, in Italy, 15,000 people are dead. In Spain, I don't know, I think it's 12,000 people are dead. In the UK, 7,000 people are dead. And I am so sorry. 20,000. Okay, so 20,000. So I for me, I feel the same. I'm really sorry for the people, you know, that are losing their lives. But I do think that this is a massive, I mean, we've all been grounded by Mother Nature. She sent us all to our rooms to think about our behavior. We can't, and everyone's like, oh, I want the world to go back to how it was. It's like, that wasn't working. We were living in a purely capitalist society with no heart. You know, I don't want to live in that world anymore. You know, I just don't. It's just so full of shit. People are killing themselves. They're depressed. Why are they depressed? Because you're made to believe that if you're not a multimillionaire, you're worthless. You know what I mean? It's like we measure everything based upon money. What the hell is money? We created money and now it's ruling us. Anyway, Angelo, you really moved me with what you just said, but also the fundraising that you're doing. And I would really like it if you could share some of that information, and hopefully even if one listener
yes, thank you. Thank you, Caroline, for giving me the chance to promote my fundraising, because I've worked since last second as was possible in my office. I was totally concentrated to how to save my company before understand if you don't save the world now, if you don't care the world about everybody, you cannot save your company. And I have understood, wow, this is not a virus for people, individual people. This is the virus, it's the solution for broken the individuality. And this is why I've decided to move all my time from my company to other people. And with my husband, I have created fundraising with GoFundMe for my hometown region, is Marche. It's a very poor region because it's full of story, is the place which was birthed the Renaissance. It's amazing place, but it's full of old people, and the situation is not easy. This is why, with my husband, we decided to support and to help my hometown region for create relationship with China, with politics, with forever a lot of support all around the world. And you can find in my Instagram link bio, you can find the link for donation or for share if you want to create a networking, because we need support for all around the world, as we want to support our brothers all around the world, because now we don't have countries, we have only one world.
Absolutely, there's one race, it's the human race, and round about now we have to evolve and help each other. So how much have you raised so far?
It's for hospital, that for support to open new beds, because the problem is that the hospitals are already full, and now they transform a lot of new space in hospitals. The emergency, we need the support to pay more doctors, to have a salary for more people who work in hospitals, because the problem in Italy is now die a lot of doctors. And no. We ask to other countries to send doctors to help us, but it's not easy. It's not easy to pay everything. And this is why we have opened a fundraising. We have found a lot of masks for people. We have found a lot of support, of technical support, but we need also money.
So if, can you say your Instagram handle so that it's easy for listeners to find
yes,
it?
It's very easy. It's Angelo Cruciani.
So how do you spell Cruciani?
C-R-U-E-A-N-E.
Okay, perfect. And your brand, I love your brand. Maybe people can find you via that as well.
Yes, my brand is Yezel. It's the name of an angel. It's the angel of union.
That's amazing. So yeah, I think I was saying this earlier on as well. I think we can't just leave it in the our respective government's hands to handle this. We all have to try where we can to get involved. And if you can't get involved, you know, in work that, you know, like Angelo's doing, then please donate some money towards the fund, number one. And number two, I think it's a public service to stay calm, to try and stay positive, and to try and stay happy.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think Greg has a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, on like an individual basis for other artists, you know, what do you think would be good ways to support the community, you know, outside of this? I know a lot of people are really worried about money right now. That's a big concern. What recommendations do you have for younger artists and people like that?
Oh, thank you for this question, Greg, because it's very interesting. Most of the people usually are worried before everything. If you are happy, you are happy inside. You don't need to be happy for other things outside of you. And if you are worried for something inside you, not for something with outside of you. This is why I push to everybody to care about their soul, about yourself. More you are connected to yourself, more you can find the solution in the right way. I don't have solution, technical solution for people, but my advice, my personal advice, and I saw talking with the people around me and talking with people all around the world, if you are very well connected to yourself, you can find the solution all the time, everywhere, all the time. But most of the people have a difficult to stay with themselves, to create intimate space with their soul, to be connected to a part we usually we don't use in our daily life. And my advice, my personal advice, Greg, is not to find solution with your mind. Stay connected with yourself and you can attract to you the right opportunity, the right solution. Because sometimes life is more easy and more simple than people think. Because we always stay concentrated to the problems. And if you think to the problems, you attract problems. If you stay connected to yourself, that means that you give to the universe, say, I believe in you. And the universe reply to you, I believe in you too.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. I also think that this is a time of reflection and we can't run away from ourselves. But a lot of the time, I know some people that sleep with the radio on, sleep with the TV. I don't even have a TV. But being quiet with your own soul, because your soul is your best friend. And you come to the earth, you leave the earth, but your soul is the same thing as the mind. It stays with you always. So being at peace with yourself and with your mind, it, you know, and taking it one step at a time and just relaxing. You know what I mean?
Yes, because human people all the time are obsessed by the solution. You have to find the solution for the problem. You have to find the solution when you are not happy. You have to find the solution. But there is a solution also around you. You don't have to find it. You have to be ready to the solution.
I agree.
Most of the time, a solution comes to you and this is not the solution you want. You cannot decide everything. This world is not in the way we see the world.
Of course.
We have to be ready to use a new, different channel to understand the world. This is why I study astrology, Caroline, because the energy is different. You cannot see the energy with your eyes. You cannot understand energy with your mind. You have to understand how to live your energy.
It's like the Force in Star Wars, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Can I just say one thing, Angelo? I want to send you the 2020 journal. It's all about the shift in consciousness, the one that started in 2012. I believe that we're heading for the reboot of the Age of Aquarius, and Greg and I are going to speak about that a little bit later on, but it's exactly what you're talking about. You must have some stuff going on in Aquarius as well, or 11th house activity.
It's a long time I work for growing. And I try to use different kind of spiritual way because most of the time it's not easy for people to understand what's your way, what's your way. I use astrology since 25 years. I've started to have a consultancy with a very famous astrologist in Italy. I was a kid, but I saved my money because I have understood the stars will know much better than human about about the universe.
Exactly.
Because all the people, all the time, it's like when you see, you know, like the football players and the people say, you have to do this, you have to do that. Yes, play if you want to play. And I say, okay, people, sometimes you cannot follow what people think. It's better to understand the intelligence of the universe and explain to the people better than to become wise. You have to use not only books, you have to use books for understand more big things.
I think that's why I've been so passionate about people learning astrology for themselves. Because if I do it for a living, but not so much anymore. It's like, for me, one astrologer, right, is not good enough to interpret the whole language of the universe. That's why I say to people, learn it for yourself. Learn the framework, learn the basics, and then you start learning more and more and more and you start understanding. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating, and you'll have enough eureka moments of your own, which is why I wrote the signs because I want everyone to be able to do it themselves. You're not going to be a master of it. It's like learning another language, like English, right? Like my Spanish is okay, I get by, but I'm going to spend like another 10 years learning 80% of it. I'm never going to get to 100% because it's not my natural language. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but it's important because I am for astrologists. And for me, it's important every year to have consulence with all these people because they show me different side of the stars because they have different kind of school. But I want to understand exactly what means the energy of the universe, because if we are here, the most important things is not to understand with my mind, is to create a natural approach with all the things around me. With me and everything.
Yeah.
Five days ago, there was a universal meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation.
With the moon.
And it was amazing because it was a Stargate. For the first time after 30 years, I make meditation. I have understood my position in the universe and I feel all the universe inside of me. That means if you can do it, if you can do this kind of things, means we have a correspondence with everything.
100%.
And we can become everything. We can be everywhere.
Yeah, 100%.
We have only to open the infinite channel and to follow what we don't use usually. We have to use our soul. It's important to recover in this moment the new intelligence, not the intelligence of our brain, the intelligence of our soul.
Yeah, for real. I agree.
Can I just say, this is great stuff, but it's also very high level stuff. And, you know, I'm just thinking about the people that I know and interact with, from family members and so forth. You know, if I was to even begin these conversations with them, they would just look at me like, what on earth are you talking about? I just wanted to say, what would you guys say is the best piece of advice to give to somebody who's right at the very beginning of understanding these concepts? Wait, hold on. That's right at the beginning of understanding these concepts. And what is the kind of introductory point, what kind of advice would you give them from
you know what? I think, yeah, you've really got to trust. It sounds dumb, yeah, but you've got to trust the universe a little bit, because I've had the same thing, yeah, but you know how like we're all aware is this sort of awakening that even people that really give a crap about like any spirituality of being more woke to it and shit, I think you've just got to go straight into the deep end, because you might find yourself talking about high vibrations and low vibrations and breaking it down, and the person you're talking to might not have given a shit a couple months ago, but they might be intrigued. I think you've really got to just trust the force and shit.
Okay, so check it out. So here we go. So my one final like line on this is, if you're just at the beginning of your journey, it sounds so simple, but it needs to be simple. You need to sit quietly with your own mind for a couple of minutes every single day. It takes 28 days to form a habit. You need to do it before you jump on your phone in the morning, get yourself a meditation cushion, and sit there for a couple of minutes every single day. Meditation is not to clear the mind. That's impossible. You would be dead if you cleared your mind. It's to sit with your own mind and start training it to sit still. Then you raise your level to the Jedi-like awareness. Angelo, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to come back to you anyway. We're going to have like a part two when we've all come out the other end, okay? I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, Carolina. Thank you especially for your work, because it helps me a lot. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you so much. We'll speak again. Thank you so much. And we'll do what we can to try and help raise some money for you as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Namaste.
Namaste.
We're going to wrap up and go to a little break now. Welcome back to The Signs in Lockdown. I'm really excited that my friend is dialing in from one of my favorite cities in the whole world, Istanbul in Turkey. So this is Bushra. Bushra, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hello, this is Bushra from Istanbul. I'm, as a profession, a marketing and salesperson in electronics industry. I'm a Sagittarius with a rising sign and moon in Capricorn, which is interesting. and it's contrasting also. So I have been going through this lockdown period on my own with my cat so far, but trying to reach my family, which is living in suburbia, and trying to provide whatever they need from online sources. And other than that, I'm actually spending my time reading and learning more astrology, trying to do like 20-minute, 30-minute sessions for my close circle and family, because people need it, definitely, this time. And it's also helping me out so far. So this is me, Büşra in lockdown.
That's great. Hi, Diana here. I'm also a Sagittarius with rising Capricorn, so snap there. So tell us a little bit more about like the actual situation in Istanbul. What does your lockdown actually look like from the ground?
Well, it's been our first month today, and we now have a total of 40,000 confirmed cases, and we unfortunately lost 1,000 people to this disease. And as of last night, we went through this curfew in top 30 cities, including Istanbul, of course. And it's going to happen for only 2 days. And but unfortunately, you know how people rush into markets and everything out of fear. So we have experienced that last night for only 1 hour. And we are all also very afraid that it's going to get things worse. And until now, we have increased over the tests. Now, as of yesterday, we have done 30,000 tests all over Turkey. And this is promising, yet we have a very steep curve in front of us since the beginning, actually. We have been late, of course, in the beginning of it, but then the curve has always been very steep, and this is getting us into this anxiety mood. And the lockdown here has been gradual, actually. So it first started with elder people, 65 plus people. They were banned from going out about 3 weeks ago. And then after 10 days, government banned youngsters and kids, those who are under 20, to go out. And as of last night, they declared this 2-day curfew. I hope it helps, but as told earlier, we've seen many videos and footage all over the cities that people are rushing in the last hour to the markets and everywhere, and they're just violating the social distancing rules, which is sad. And Istanbul is known to be the center of epidemic. 60 of all cases are in Istanbul, and we are 15 million people. You know, this is a mega city. So let's see how April comes out. But I don't know, like, I have the hope, but I hope this curfew at least helps to get things worse.
Worse?
Yeah, because, it helps in order to avoid it, I mean.
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned that anxiety then, the anxiety and fear building. What would your advice be to people that are experiencing that at the moment?
Well, first of all, I think those people that takes these major actions for the public, I think everything should be done in an organized way. So organization is the killer here, I think, the most important part. And also proper information of the public, because people most of the time, out of proper information, get into this panic mode other than our current fear from anything. And whenever certain actions are taken, people are afraid that they're not informed properly. And on a personal basis, I have my own tips so far worked for me. I try to do something for other people and sometimes stray animals, because we have many stray animals in Istanbul. Caroline has seen them, the many cats in every street. And actually, there's a documentary on cats in for Turkish. So I try to do something for the other, something for those in need or for the animals, in order to avoid my fear and in order to combat with it. So this is one thing I do. And astrology, as I said earlier, is helping me out in this, not only for myself, but I also use it as a tool to help my family and friends somehow. So overall, I try to avoid it with this. And I don't watch TV, by the way. I don't open TV. I don't do it. I was doing it a month ago and it didn't help. And, you know, having a constant follow-up of the situation didn't help. I only spend my mornings on that and don't do it during the rest of the day.
So you stay informed just in the mornings and then you kind of fill your day up with other things.
I try to do it, yes. And sometimes cleaning, sometimes cooking. Cooking was my also... Cooking is something that I love, and it always helped me whenever I'm in a bad mood or whenever I try to, you know, do something different, creative. So I try to do something nice for myself every day, one proper meal, and trying to do something creative out of it, it helps.
I think, sorry to jump in here, but for me, Bushra, I think, you know, even from the way that we connected, the way that we met, you and I both believe in the magic of the universe, you know, in synchronicity and in magic. And I think it helps. And I just wish that people would believe again. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely. Believe in hope.
Yeah. And just trust in the process. Stay safe. You know, I was saying this earlier on, if you do live in a country that, you know, you don't have people in power that are trustworthy for one reason or another, you know, with the, you know, the internet is governed by Uranus, and Uranus gives you free information. So, you know, I surround myself with people that are much, much cleverer than I am. And so I check in with them and I find out what's going on, and we have a responsibility to ourselves to find out what is true information and to find out what is not true, and to educate and research and do our own homework, you know?
Yes, definitely. And for that matter, TV is not helping, actually, you know, and it's not only for Turkey, I think. There's too many information and too many stuff in. So I try to do my own search and I try to learn more, because you also are afraid from the unknown. That's one thing. So when you try to learn and understand the process overall, it's helping. And also, in order to keep up the hope, I think me as a moon Capricorn, working on compassion, it always works, because it's the, you know, compassion is the key for me. Compassion for those in need, and as I told earlier, animals, and trying to help them somehow. Every little bit helps, actually. And the way I go through this is try to do something for others so that it helps my heart.
But you know what? It's a scientifically proven fact that when you do something good for someone else, it makes you feel good too. So it's a win-win situation. And I think being of service and doing something kind for someone without any expectation is actually a way to heal our own heart. So you're right on the money there, Bushra.
Definitely. And so far, it's been changing the game.
Yeah, I'm just conscious of everybody that's going to hear this, so I keep on going back to the people that are not so advanced spiritually as us. And I think as I'm building a day in the life of quarantine, what Caroline said, meditating or being still for 2 minutes a day. Start by putting something in your day where you are somehow helping or contributing to somebody else in some way or something else. Is there any other message of or anything else that you'd put into that? in terms of a daily, putting something into your daily routine that will help you get through this time?
It's quite simple, actually, but taking a shower, you know, taking a proper shower is, you know, soothing me a lot. And whenever I feel that anxiety, I don't have a regular shower time during the day. It totally depends on my mood. So whenever I have that anxiety, I try to take a quick shower. And I don't go through the predictions and forecasts of astrology that much. Rather than that, I try to understand myself better. I try to apply psychological astrology terms to my chart. I work on that. So I try to learn myself better. And also, I had a gym instructor before all this lockdown, and I was going there on a weekly basis, 3 times a week. And she's now doing it online, even from day one. So whenever I have that energy and mood, or whenever I don't, I try to push myself a little bit. 2 or 3 times a week, I'm able to do that, just like my mood. You know, 2 days I'm good, and in the third, I'm waking up in this messy messy structure.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. You're doing 2-2-1. I'm doing 1-1-1-1.
So I think I'm a 2-1 as well.
2-1.
So if you had one message that you'd like to share with everybody at this point in time, what would that message be?
I think it's quite similar what I've been telling so far about this solidarity and doing something for the community and for others. So we have a saying, this is based on Islamic texts and also locally accepted. We say that those who sleep without with their stomach full while their neighbors are hungry doesn't belong to us. So this is a very, very popular and very traditional way of living in Turkey. And also we're kind of famous for our hospitality overall. It's for the neighbors, for the others, for the visitors, everyone. So I think this saying is applying to my soul so far. And I believe it should help people to think over it.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, Bushra, that was amazing. So I thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I just hope that everybody, you know, is listening to what you're saying. And I just think you're amazing. And I'm so grateful to connect with, you know, the people that I connect with. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Bushra. I hope to be puffing on shisha and drinking those delicious white drinks with you in Istanbul again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. And this was a pleasure. And I feel myself very lucky that I had the chance to share my feelings and my experience with your audience and all the listeners during this time. It's very, you know, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
No, we appreciate you.
I wish the time we are having that white drink and shisha all together, which is hard to find in one place, which we managed in Istanbul, you know, because shisha places you drink tea, but then we still were able to find at the middle of the night a shisha place with rakı.
So we everything we wanted, we literally just put it out into the universe, and it literally came to us like 2 minutes later. Do you remember? And then I was saying, I really need a collection of, do you remember, because we connected over the signs. So
yes.
I don't know if you want to like quickly tell that, and then I'll tell the Rumi story.
Yeah, actually I saw Caroline on Instagram. I was following her because I had her book last year in Berlin. It's not sold in Turkey as far as I know it. So I saw it in a bookstore in Berlin, and I got her book, and the book has been amazing, you know, like reading it has been amazing. And I started following her on Instagram. And then one day, 2 months ago, right?
February.
Yeah. 2 months ago, I saw her in Istanbul in her stories, but he didn't tag herself in Istanbul. So I understand from the, you know, from the environment she's been. So I messaged her with a photo of myself holding her book and saying that I see that you're in Istanbul, and if you want to see around, if you want to stroll around a bit, I can show you around. So, and she immediately got back to me, and we met just the other day. And then
it was amazing, because I didn't even post where I was on Instagram. It was literally a picture of a tiny little skyline and a tree. And Pusha emailed me with a photo of the book. But 3 minutes before that, I messaged my friend and I was like, I'm working in Istanbul. You know what? I love being on my own and everything else, but I've been here for 5 days. I'm kind of lonely. You know, do you know anyone who you can introduce me to? Literally within 3.5 minutes, Pusha sent me that message. I was like, it's a sign. with the book, which is like, if you've got the book, you're in. So we met, and then we went traveling all around. It was like we'd known each other for years, but listen to this. So we were talking about Rumi, and I love Rumi. And I said to, where were we? At Hagia Sophia.
Yes, in front of it.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? I really need a collection of Rumi's works. And she looked at me and froze, and I looked at her, and she pulled out of her bag a wrapped book, no word of a lie, the complete collection of Rumi's works. I mean, right?
Yes.
That's synchronicity at its best.
It's magic. We all have to believe in magic. Okay, so Bushra, I'm going to be seeing you soon. I know I am.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about taking great showers, Bushra. That is a phenomenal suggestion. Thank you so much for that.
I'm sending you lots of love.
Thank you so much.
So everybody, welcome to part 3 of The Signs in Lockdown, and we're joined now by Alex. Alex, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, yes, I'm Alex. I work in publishing, but I'm training to be a psychotherapist at the moment as well. So, hi everyone.
Tell us about your astrology.
My astrology. So my sun sign is Cancer, and I'm Scorpio rising, and I've got moon in Sagittarius. I didn't know about the rising sign and the moon sign until quite recently. So I've been having fun exploring my chart over the last couple of days.
That's amazing. So how exactly does all of this feel right now where you are?
It's a good question. It's kind of, it's like a whole mix of things for me. I'm in lockdown by myself, and I find that like my mood just swings throughout the day. So I have periods of feeling like incredibly kind of free and positive and doing loads of fun things, and then periods of feeling kind of quite anxious about the future. I suppose I'm just a bit quite overwhelmed and all over the place. But I've had the last 6 months have been like a massive period of transformation for me anyway, because I left like a really stable job, and now I'm kind of in between things. So it's kind of, in a way, it just sort of feels like part of a whole load of stuff I'm going through.
No, I totally get that. I think a lot of us feel the same. Over the course, do you think there's any kind of strategies with coping that have been working better for you in terms of these mood swings? What works and what can you share with everyone else?
I think definitely, like, I have to have a bit of a routine. So because I'm not working, I don't have that thing that a lot of people have. I think of kind of waking up, logging on, sort of seeing their colleagues, having meetings and stuff. So I've had to impose a routine on myself. Otherwise, I'd just like lie in bed till about 12 and then maybe roll out and kind of watch Netflix all day. So I'm getting up at like 8, and then I write my journal for half an hour, and then I do some meditation. And that's really amazing for me, because that just kind of starts me off on the right foot, because often I wake up feeling quite anxious and then I have to kind of bring myself down a bit. And then like just really making sure that I keep in touch with people during the day. So like, I have lots of friends that we check in with each other during the day. I've got like an old lady that I know that's quite, I know she's kind of on her own. So I'll like check in with her, make sure she's doing okay. Go for my like state sanctioned walk and stuff. and, you know, but also like, you know, some days I just, like some days I just really want to have a bath in the middle of the afternoon and I'll just let myself do that because I think, well, you know, why not? It's, I think I can be, if I'm not careful, I can be very like quite regimented in the way I go about things and set myself really kind of unachievable goals. So I think it's quite good to remember it's okay to like have a bath and eat some chocolate for the afternoon if that's what I want to do, you know.
Yes. So. Yes, indeed. I think that's a great point. You know, that kind of self-love isn't always about being perfect. Sometimes it's about doing something fun for yourself as well, you know, in that care sense. So do you think it's given you time to develop a new way of working? Like, how are you, like when you said that you'd left a position before and you're kind of in between things, where do you see yourself going next from this in terms of how is this time letting you develop that?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I was thinking like at the moment my kind of morning routine takes about an hour, my like journaling and meditation and stuff. And I'd love to say that when I start my new job, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and spend an hour journaling and doing meditation. But I hope I will do some form of that. But I also know myself quite well, and that I really love to sleep in the mornings, and it's not going to be so easy. So I think what I'm really trying to do also is just focus on like the now and just do this now and not think too much about what I am and aren't going to be doing by the time I come out of lockdown. But I hope it will have taught me some kind of good, certainly taught me the value of these things and the importance of trying to fit them in to my day as best I can, I would say. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Carol.
I think what you're saying about the routine is key here because, you know, it's the same as when you've got a kid, you have to sleep train the kid because the kid needs routine. And as, you know, we're all big kids really. So to take care of ourselves properly, we have to keep some level of routine in our lives. So even if that's waking up and doing meditation or journaling and I also think that what you're saying about staying in the moment is really important because if we jump back to the past, like, you know, when you just showed me the stuff from our launch party, I got a little bit sad because I was like, oh, look at my hair. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just saying it's like, oh, I was so happy that day. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm not now, but it's like, if we go to the past, we sometimes can suffer with sadness or even depression. And if we jump into the future, that causes a lot of anxiety. And let's face it, the only thing that we have right now is the moment. And what made me chuckle, Alex, was when you were saying, you know, I kind of like my bed. You've got Mars in Leo. I do not know anybody in the world, and I must have looked at thousands of charts. I don't know anyone who's got Mars in Leo that doesn't love to sleep, like the lion under the tree in the sun.
That's funny you should say that, Caroline, because I've got like a massive window in my sitting room and the light pours in. So in the afternoon, I lie in it like a cat, just kind of basking in the sunshine.
So because Mars governs your energy, and I just wanted, a lot of you might not know this, but Alex was part of the phenomenal team at Penguin Random House who managed to get my book into, I think, 11 foreign countries.
Yeah.
I mean, she was part of that team. So all the people that were connecting with Angelo and Bushra and all of that, Alex was a major player in that. So I just want to say thank you because the signs is, it's helping people, I think, and bringing amazing people to us. So I just think for everybody else, it's like jumping too far into the future going to cause a lot of anxiety. So it's like I was saying earlier on, let's just have a little breath break, shall we, guys? Okay, so everybody who's listening right now, close your eyes, roll your shoulders back a couple of times, get all of that clicking gone. Take a deep breath into your nose. Hold for 3 seconds and exhale. And one more. 3,
two, one, exhale. And one more. Three, two, one. So that those three deep breaths there has something to do with activating the vagus nerve, which counteracts anxiety. So, you know, if you're ever feeling a little bit anxious, just forget about the future, don't worry about the past, and just bring it back to the moment and to the breath.
I think that's a perfect suggestion for anyone, is no matter what's going on, you can always just take a deep breath and everything's going to be all right. Alex, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us on this podcast. And if you had one message to share with everyone, especially about being alone in lockdown, which is something I think especially challenging, what would that be?
To dance, I would say, dance.
Yes!
Because, you know, it's great exercise. It gets your endorphins going. There's loads of, like, live streaming things on at the moment. I do it every day if I can, just to kind of, yeah, love it. But thank you for having me.
Woo!
Alex, that's the best advice ever. Thank you so much, yeah. Alex. See you later.
Bye.
Woo! Thank you so much.
So hello everybody and welcome to the fourth part of The Signs in Lockdown. I'm really excited because I'm going to be speaking to a good friend of mine, Lupe, who is over in Spain right now on lockdown. And so welcome, Lupe.
Hi, welcome. I mean, hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm really, 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 really grateful that you could dial in. So Lupe, do you want to just introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, my name is Lupe Puerta. I'm Spanish, lived in London for 26 years, but I chose to be in lockdown at my mom's in Spain in a very small town called Irun in the Basque Country, very close to the French border.
And would you, how, I mean, we've been hearing a lot on the news, obviously, of the sort of, you know, rate of infections, the, you know, the amount of people that have lost their lives in Spain. How has it been there for you on lockdown after sort of zipping away from London and, you know, locking yourself in with your family in Spain? How has it been?
Yeah, it has been. I think it's incredible how, you know, we as human beings, we are so adaptable, and it seems like this is a new normal, hopefully not for too long. But it's terrifying when you look at the numbers, and Spain lockdown means not going out whatsoever. It's quite strict. So we are at home most of the time, unless you have to go to do any groceries, which I think is super positive because we're seeing an incredible amount of, I mean, the numbers are really going down. And we've seen about 60,000 people who have been discharged. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. In Madrid, like London has been really badly hit. And finally, the numbers are going down. So hope is there.
That's absolutely fantastic. I think, you know what, I mean, first of all, do you want to just talk a little bit about your astrology?
Yeah, I am Sagittarius. My sun is in Sagittarius, rising Scorpio and moon in Leo.
So it's not that easy for you to be caged.
No.
How many walls have you climbed today, Lupe?
God, and on top of that, I mean, just imagine yourselves in your 40s being on lockdown with your mother, Spanish.
What, Lupe, what sign is your mum?
She's Virgo, so you can imagine, right?
Oh, very clean then.
Yes.
Clean.
although these days it's me going like, mom, please, you have to disinfect that. You have to. It's funny how the baby boomers are more relaxed than actually, you know, ourselves, you know. We're very different.
I think that, yeah, they're a little bit more sort of chilled than we are. I think, what are you doing in terms of your daily routine and how you're taking care of yourself, because Sagittarians don't like to be restricted in terms of, like, you know, exploring?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to lie to you. It is super challenging, I think, for everybody. I think technology really works, and speaking to your friends really work. And actually, really speaking, I mean, it's great to be with mom. For me, it's great. We get on so well. So just speak about your feelings, how you're feeling, and your friends. And actually, I'm working from home. So it takes a lot of my time away. So that's really good. But having a routine really helps, doing yoga and meditation, which is, you know, that for me is a little bit of a challenge. But actually, you know, and that's the thing, is a positive thing, because I'm actually getting into it now, whereas before there's always something else to do other than, you know, learning how to meditate and find, you know, the peace within yourself.
I think that's amazing. And I think I was saying that to people the other day, the easiest way to get into anything like this is to form a habit. So, like, do you know what I mean? So same time every single day, you know? I mean, it's really important. I think what's amazing is that, you know, so this kind of lockdown is, would you say it's working?
It definitely is working. I mean, in terms of numbers, it's really working. In terms of self-reflection, I think it really is working for everybody. I think that if anything, we have to realize the power of people now, how low-skilled workers are now essential workers, which is amazing. And each of, you know, each of and every one of us, we're saving lives just by staying home. I think that there's a lot of food for thought there. When we come out of this, and we will be coming out of this, and my hope is that we come, like, stronger, and we're, you know, our minds is, you know, are geared to really change a few things. We can't tell that we haven't had the time to really think things through.
This is so true. Spoken like a true Sagittarian. I wanted to get one of those little trumpets out then. You know, when you do the This is a European and UK declaration. Absolutely. By UK. Do you know, I was saying this earlier on, for me, you know, I would say, hopefully, I'm quite a positive person anyway, but for me, it's made me incredibly appreciative of the small things. Like, I love, like, the finer things in life. I like to go out, I like to drink, I like to do all these things. So I force myself to run 3 times a week. And this is the first time ever when I'm like, oh, look at the trees. Oh, look at the blossoms. Oh, that's amazing. Look at the lavender. Look at the sky. Listen to the birds.
Sorry, I just want to say, that's also, because I've been researching, funnily enough, before all of this stuff happened, I've been researching about high vibrations and, like, how to raise your vibrations. And appreciating nature is another way to raise your vibration. So you're doing a good job, man.
Yeah,
I second that.
Absolutely. I think it's unbelievable how everyone's looking at nature with this amount of respect, which it's incredible. And it's like, we were talking with a friend the other day. It's like, the trees look greener. You know, I mean, the grass is like, it smells, and it's just because we actually never had the time to do so.
I agree. The thing is, though, is that this is in all great spiritual lineages. They say that the reason why we are all so insecure, and anyone who says that they're not insecure, I'm sorry, unless you're an enlightened guru, we all have moments of being insecure, is because we are so out of kilter with nature. It's because we are not connected to Mother Earth anymore. So Mother Earth, I think, has given us all one big fat juicy timeout. We're all grounded.
Sorry, can I say as well, though, the insecurity thing? I feel like insecurity humanizes us and that, because if we were all like Dr. Manhattan, like fifth dimensional beings, then I think it'd be harder for us to relate. Do you know what I'm saying? I think there has to be that doubt in order for us to question our own mythos and ideologies, you know?
But it depends on what your definition or interpretation of insecurity actually is.
Because if you know that you are connected to the Great Mother, you are connected to the Earth and to the universe, it doesn't matter if she doesn't call you back. It doesn't matter if you don't get that job. It's not because they hate you or you're crap. You're still a child of the universe, no less. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a different kind of, I think what you're talking about is openness. I don't know. I think we're all ready to go out into the sunshine now. Yeah. On our balconies for a minute, but I just think it's going to make us all appreciate each other, appreciate, you know, and try not to trash the planet anymore. This is our home.
Absolutely. But I do understand about the insecurity, and sometimes, you know, I think this is the time where everyone is kind of equal and we're all feeling, we're having the same feelings.
I agree. Well, it just shows how connected we all are, the whole world.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we'd better wrap it up. Do you have one thing that you'd like to say to anyone listening, Lupe, before we pass the baton?
I just wanted to say that, you know, we will come out of this stronger. And, you know, on a fun note, please do not attempt to cut your hair at home like I've done. Because, you know, it made me laugh when I saw what I did to myself, because I always think about you going, you know, Sagittarius gone wrong. Well, this is like, I look like a has gone wrong Amelie, you know, so.
Thanks for that, because I was considering it.
I did it the first time and I was like really careful, so it was great. And the second time I thought I was a hairdresser, so that did not go well.
But that's... Thank you so much, Lupe. So yeah, let's just take it round the virtual room. Mr. Nutty P, any final words?
Yeah, I know it's the bait thing, but sometimes the most bait thing's the one, isn't it? Just stay positive, look out for you and yours, and just try to be nice to people, man, straight up.
Oh, I love that. Diana?
I'm going to go with the quote that I heard this week that I really liked. And there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So when you go down your spiral of bad thinking, stop yourself.
I love that. Really love that. Greg?
Yeah, more of what they said. Plus, if you know anybody who is making something creative or running their own business and is able to operate during these times, do yourself and them a favor and support their business. Buy their ebook, buy their song on Bandcamp, whatever it is. It'll do a lot for their self-worth and their wallet. So, you know, help your artists and creative friends out there make it through these times.
100%. I think that's also really important, because I was saying earlier on that it's a scientifically proven fact that when you help or give back or serve, it actually helps to make you feel better as well. And on that note, thank you so much to everyone. Listen, world, hold on, you know, just face yourself, lean in, don't panic, take 3 deep breaths, do some yoga, and yeah, let's all come out of this with a 6-pack, not the beer.
Yay!
Okay, guys, thank you. Bye.
Big love.
Hi, everyone. Me again. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much to our incredible guest who helped to bring all of this together, and of course, our wonderful producer. If you'd like to donate to Angelo's incredible GoFundMe, please visit his Instagram account, where you can find a link to the campaign. His username is at Angelo Cruciani, which is Cruciani. Finally, if you'd like to support us and the podcast and future episodes, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes audio clips and video clips. They're funny. You'll also get access to our newsletter and much, much more. So please visit www.patreon.com/dynamicastrology. We will see you next week, where we're going to be interviewing a selection of fabulous guests from the USA. Interesting. We're going to be getting downright deep and spiritual and beaming into you from our living rooms, because let's face it, it's kind of where we all are at the moment.